Good morning, everyone. Today, we will continue discussion of Mashiach and Olam Haba. Last class, we spent most of the time discussing the position of the Rambam and the rationalists in terms of Olam Haba and Mashiach. And today, we're going to turn back to the more mainstream approach in Chazal, the more mystical approach, and try to understand the purpose of Olam Haba to the extent that we can, and certainly we'll be limited in our ability to understand it. As you recall, we briefly introduced this before, the basic pattern is that Mashiach will come, there'll be an Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh Dika existence. Yimos HaMashiach will be Olam Hazeh. It will be a time of peace and prosperity and Yediyas Hashem, and we'll describe that a little more in detail momentarily. And then there'll be, at one point, sometime later, the Tchias HaMesim, which will usher in the period of Olam Haba. Olam Haba will also have a physical body, but live a non-physical spiritual existence with a physical body. So today, Be'ezus Hashem will get back to some of those obviously very difficult and esoteric ideas. First of all, how many Tchias HaMesims will there be? So I would have thought, one Tchias HaMesim. Where do we ever hear of two Tchias HaMesims? If you turn, however, to page 27, you'll see that the Ritva and the Radvaz and others, quoting from the Ramban, assume that there will be two Tchios HaMesim. Why is that? So the Gemara in Tainis on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says that Kol Hamis Avel al Yushalayim Zocha V'Roa V'Simchasa. A mimer we're all familiar with. If you are Misavel on Yerushalayim, you'll have the opportunity to rejoice and enjoy in its simcha. The obvious question is, what about all those many, many people over the last thousands of years who have certainly been Misavel al Yerushalayim? They sat on the floor, they shed tears on Tisha B'Av, and yet they died. When will they be Zoa V'Ra B'Simchasa? And if you presume that Tchias HaMesim will only take place after Yimos HaMashiach and ushering in the period of Olam Haba, so that's a very unnatural existence, at least from our perspective. So how could it be that everyone who is Mes'aval Yerushalayim will be Zocha V'Ra B'Simchasa? From here, the Ritva proves, as well as from other sources, that there will be two resurrections. One, which will be for Tzadikim, so that Tzadikim will be able to enjoy Yimos HaMashiach. And the second will be for everybody, and that's what we say, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak L'Olam Haba. Everybody has a Chelak in Olam Haba. Though not everybody will necessarily enjoy this first Tchiyah. And this helps resolve a number of contradictions. Among them, certain mamarim that imply that everybody will be zocha to Tchiyas HaMesim in Olam Haba, like Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak L'Olam Haba, which the Gemara refers to post Tchiyas HaMesim, and others which imply it will just be the righteous people. What's interesting here is that the first Tchiyah is very similar to the Rambam's Tchias HaMesim. We talked about last week how the purpose of the Tchias HaMesim, according to the Rambam, is to allow people the opportunity to enjoy Yimos HaMashiach. And therefore, that is the purpose of Tchias HaMesim. If you follow the Mahalich of the Ramban, that's the purpose of the first Tchias HaMesim, but not necessarily the second Tchias HaMesim. Now, this raises an obvious question, which is, what is the purpose of Yimos HaMashiach? What is the function? We already saw that the Rambam understands that a major function, there are many functions. One is Umalo Haaretz De'as Hashem, it will be a time of universal recognition of God, of Kiddush Hashem, of peace, of prosperity. According to the Rambam, it will allow people to earn Olam Haba in a fair way, since they won't be burdened by persecution and the like. But what will the nature of this existence be? And one central question is, will there be Bechira Chafshis, Yimos HaMashiach? Meaning to say, will it be like our current existence, where we struggle to do right from wrong. Perhaps there'll be universal recognition of God, but still there'll be Bechira. Or no, will that change as well? And in a certain sense, this is an even more fundamental question than the question of whether the extent to which it will be supernatural. Do the prophecies in Yeshayahu about the lion and the lamb, are they to be taken literally or non-literally? Here we have an even more fundamental question, which is, will there be Bechira? What will the nature be? The Ramban addresses this question in his commentary on Dvarim Perek Lamed on page 27. And he understands that the pasuk of Umal Hashem es Levavecha, which is talking about Yemos HaMashiach, teaches us that indeed there will not be Bechira, at least not the type of Bechira we're used to. Ki mizman habriya haisa rishus biyad ha'adam lasos kirtzono, tzadik o rasha, v'chol zman ha'torah kein. The entire period of the Torah, that's a very interesting phrase, we'll return to that later, Be'ezras Hashem. People have free will to choose to do right or wrong. Why? What is the purpose of free will? Kidei she'yia lehem zuchus bevechirasam betov va'onesh birtzosam bera. Because with free will, then the bechira betov could be a zuchus, and the bechira bera is a chov. If there isn't free will, then it's not a zuchus. Aval yemos ha'mashiach tia bechira betov lehem teva. Lo yisavel lehem halev lemash eno ra'ui velo yachpotz klal. The choice to do good will be natural. He's not necessarily saying that there is no freedom whatsoever, but that the choice for good will become the natural choice. V'hi hamila hanizkeres kan. That's what it means, umal Hashem es levavecha. Ki achemda v'atava arla lelev. Umul halev, hu shelo yachmod v'lo yisaveh. So the mila of the lave is the notion that there will be no longer any taivos. The yashuv ha'adam bizman ha'hu la'shira yakodem cheto shel adam harishon shaya osa tov betivo masherui lasos v'lo haya birtzono davar v'hipucho. Very powerful line. Nowadays, our ratzon is davar v'hipucho. This is sometimes expressed by the yetzer ha'tov and the yetzer hara, which can be portrayed very differently in different sources, but the notion that within us we have both the desire to do good and the desire to do bad, and hence we struggle. Sometimes we choose right, sometimes we choose wrong. We cannot say that naturally we're entirely inclined to good. As he quotes later, the pasuk says, Yetzer lev adam ra min urav, and therefore a person has to train themselves. B'yemos HaMashiach, the natural inclination will be to do good. Now, there's an obvious question here, which is, what is the point of this existence if there's no Bechira? If you say it's just for Schar, like Olam Haba, so then I understand why there's no need for Bechira. But if it's not the Makom Schar, or the Iker Makom Schar, as the Ramban said, what is the purpose, what is the benefit of existence without Bechira? It seems to be something that serves no purpose, that serves no point. And I think there are a couple of important yesodos that come out from this question. First of all, part of it is like we saw in the Rambam, that it's a hachana for Olam Haba, and that to the extent that you see Olam Haba as a natural repercussion of a person's spiritual perfection in this world, then we can understand why living B'yemos HaMashiach will allow for Olam Haba even without Bechira. Because after all, like we said for the Rambam, Olam Haba is natural and a reflection of a person's spiritual, intellectual development. The second point is that he doesn't say here that there's absolutely no Bechira. What he says, rather, is that a person's natural inclination will be for good. How do I know that doesn't mean that there's zero Bechira? Well, because he tells us that the person, man, will be restored to the level of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. The Ramban in Bereishis, which you can find in page 28 in Perek Beis Pasuk Tes in Bereishis, addresses what the nature of this existence is. But it's clear that there had to be some form of Bechira, because after all, man chose to sin, chose to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, which was, of course, wrong. Now, if we were to say that Adam HaRishon had no Bechira at that point in time, which is the implication of the cursory reading of the Ramban in Sefer Dvarim and in Sefer Bereishis, then the whole notion of Chet doesn't make sense. How could a human being sin if he had no Bechira, unless you were say that there's some type of destiny and this was automatic, which is actually an idea that you do see in some thinkers, but it's certainly not what Ramban sounds like he's saying. And thus Ramban, to read in Bereishis Perek Beis, addresses this. V'hayafe be'enai ki ha'adam haya ose b'tiv'o ma'asheroi lasos kefi ha'toldas. Like he said in Dvarim, that a person naturally wanted to do that which was good, right? Imagine l'masha l'mad davar dome. So we, let's say when it comes to healthy and unhealthy foods, many people have a desire for that which is unhealthy. We enjoy, we desire sweet, fatty things, and yet scientists and doctors say, no, sweet, fatty things aren't good for us. So we desire things which aren't actually good for us, at least on occasion. And the same thing is true with respect to chet. We desire things which aren't for our benefit, which aren't good for us. B'mos HaMashiach, and also Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, that wasn't the case. Kasher Yasu Shamayim V'chol Tzva'am Po'alei Emes Shepu'lasem Emes V'lo Yishanu Es Tafkidam V'ein Lohem B'maseim Avo Sina. Just like in the natural world, the natural beings naturally desire that which is good for them, so too was the case with human beings. Upri ha'ilan hazeh hayamolid haraton v'chefetz shiyivcheru ochlav bedavar o behipucho letov o lera. Eating of the chet, of the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, bred within a person the chefetz and ratzon to do both good and bad. V'lachei nikra Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. Kiadas yomar b'lishonenu al ratzon. Das means ratzon, and thus we have the ratzon to do both good and bad. Skipping a little, v'hine achareach lo min ha'etz haisa biyado habechira uvirtzono laharau leitev bein lo bein lacherim v'zu mida elokis mitzad achad v'ra'a le'adam biyoso lo b'yetzer v'tava. What's fascinating is that this fall was both good and bad. The ratzon and the natural desire to do both good and evil was both positive, in the sense that it's a mida elokis, because we now have ratzon, we now have bechira. That's the idea of a hayisem kelokim, yodei tovara. But at the same time, now we have the notion of tava. So this is the nature of Bechira b'yamos HaMashiach. It's not that there is zero Bechira, just like there was clearly some degree of Bechira for Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, but the point is that naturally a person will desire that which is good, as opposed to something being unnatural. The Nefesh HaChaim develops this idea in a perhaps more mystical way in Shar Aleph Perek Vav, top of page 29. Kisheba nachash alchava hitil bazuamas, Chazal say, Ratalomar bitocha mamash. Umeaz garam alideze irbuvia gedola bemasav, shekoma se adam, hema birvuvia vishtanos rabos meod. The idea was, the way the Nefesh HaChaim presents it, is that originally the nachash, or the yetzer hara, or the like, was mibachutz, and then it became bifnim and mi'urav. And here the Nefesh HaChaim tells us a very profound result of this, and that is the following. Because of this, a person will almost always have mixed motivations in the actions that they do, whether they are good actions primarily or bad. Umitapech tamid mitov lara umeira letov. Gama maaseh tov atzma kimat bilti afshar Lerov ha'olam shetiakulo kodesh zacha unikia lagamre. And likewise with respect to Ra, he says, human beings are such that even when they do something generally good, they do a type of chesed, they do Torah, they do tefillah, they do mitzvos, it's rarely the case that it's purely 100% l'shem shamayim, purely altruistic and the like. There's always mixed motivations. That is the nature of our existence. That's part of Bechira. That's part of the notion of, according to the Nefesh HaChaim, of the hitil ba'zuama, the result of the chet. The zuama means that mixed into us is the ra, and hence, no action that we do is perfectly good, and for the same reason, perfectly bad. Most people, even when they choose to do ra, they have some positive motivation. And that is the nature of Bechira, and that's what's going to change. That is the second component. So no, according to the Ramban, there won't be the Bechira that we currently have, but that doesn't mean to say that there will be no Bechira whatsoever. It will be similar to the type of Bechira of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, where a person naturally desired that which was good, that there was no longer this mixed motivation in his actions. However, the third and the ikker point of Yemos HaMashiach, according to this Mahalach of Chazal and Ramban and Nefesh HaChaim, is that the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach is preparation for Olam Haba. It's a transitional stage between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, in which the world becomes prepared for Olam Haba. And we're going to see this on a number of levels. Just to see one reflection of this, the Ben Ish Chai in Tshuvos Torah Lishma deals with the question of Bechira in Siman Taf Ayin Beis. You could find it on page 29. We're not going to read most of this tshuva. It's really heavy Kabbalah. I'll just pick out a couple of select lines where he's explaining the conclusions he draws from the Kabbalistic sources, but not actually quoting them. Hare yishaer adayin biwur v'tikun l'nishamos achar bias ha-mashiach mashiyev shalasos kodem bo'o. The purpose of Yemos HaMashiach is that there will be some form of tikkun haneshama which can't happen beforehand. V'lo od ela gam be'inyan tikkun chet adam harishon yisha'er mimenu ad achar bias haMashiach v'lo yushlam hakol kodem bo'o. Because there can't be total tikkun to the chet of adam harishon before Mashiach, we need Yemos HaMashiach to be misakein that chet. And skipping to page 31, the top, Balkain, here he's dealing with a question. First, he quotes a number of Kabbalistic sources, mostly from the Ari, which indicate that there will be a tikkun needed b'Yemos HaMashiach, and hence there will still be a need for Umas HaOlam, and there'll be a need for physicality and the like. And then he quotes a number of sources which indicate that there will not be those things. And he concludes, V'alkem l'chora davar yipale, d'zeh nira hefech min apashtas ha'lashono she'taknu b'rishona, gam od yipale im yugmar kol habirur kulo kodem, if this entire process of rectification of sin takes place before the coming of the Mashiach, such that it's not needed b'yemos HaMashiach, im kein lo yisha'er klipos klal, umimela tzarech shi'is batel ha'yetzer har lagamrei, v'gam tzarech shi'is batel umos ha'olam kulam, eventually it will be true, all the klipos will be mivutalos. However, this won't happen immediately. Later we'll talk about the difference between the Elef HaShishi and the Elef HaShvi'i and the Elef HaShmini. Ki achar bias haMashiach muchrach shiishar yetzer hara umuchrach shiisharu umos olam tziskaim kol avtachos shel hanaviim. It's clear if you look, for example, in the haftachos and the neviim about umos haMashiach in the books of Yeshayahu and the like, there are umos haolam, because he associates the existence of umos haolam with the existence of the yetzer hara. Then memela, there must be some form of yetzer hara. So how do we resolve that? There will be klipos. Acha klipos. I'm skipping. Lo yisbatlu adain lagamrei rak yishar bahem ktsas lachluchis chiyus kidekiyum ktsas kimochola v'goseis. The klipos that remain will be very weakened, like a goseis. And v'efsher shizos halachluchis hum in osam aneshamos shal nakvus, etc., etc. So these klipos that remain dried out will be there b'imos haMashiach. Again, the notion that it will be this intermediate stage, one where there'll be quasi-bechira, and the purpose of this state and this quasi-bechira is to prepare the world for Olam Haba. Nathan, you had your hand up before? That's our current form of Bechira, as the Ramban says, that we desire Davar v'hipucho. However, clearly the Ramban is saying that there's a different level of quasi-Bechira where we'll have the choice to do both good and bad, but not the desire, the internal or natural desire to do bad. Again, otherwise there's no way to explain the chet. Exactly. So the Ramban holds that there is such a point, partially because there is that room for the Bechira. But as I said, with respect to Yemos HaMashiach, I think the Ramban would agree also that the Ikar Teretz is the Hachana for Olam Haba. Now, part of this idea of the Hachana L'Olam Haba, another expression of this, is an idea in Chazal, the notion that the world will be destroyed. Turn to page 31, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Zayin Amad Aleph, Amr of Katina, Shis Alfe Shane Have Alma, the world will exist for 6,000 years, the Chad Charuf, and be destroyed for 1,000 years, Shenemar V'Nizgav Hashem Levado, Bayom HaHu. Levado implies that there'll be no other existence, which indicates that the world will somehow be destroyed. The Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva picks up on the fact that the Rambam does not mention this in his description of Yemos HaMashiach, and he's bothered by this. It's interesting that this is one of the few critiques. Amar Avram, Nira kemak chesein ha'olam chozer l'tov avahu, v'akadosh baruch hu mechadish olamo, v'amru shisa alma alfei shanin havu alma v'chad charav, nimtzashu olam chadash. So the Ravid says, how could the Rambam say this? It's against Chazal. The Rambam addresses the Ravid's critique in Mar Nevuchim, of course, not directly, but he addresses this Maimer in Chazal in section 2, chapter 29 in the Mora. And essentially he writes, I'll read you the quote from the bottom of page 31, "The world lasts 6,000 years, and 1,000 years it is waste. They do not have in mind total extinction of being." Meaning to say, Charav does not mean absolute total destruction. The truth of the matter is that the Rashba also assumes that this might be the case. It doesn't mean absolute destruction. For his expression, in 1,000 years it is a waste, indicates that time remains. He here has an interesting proof. He's saying that if there's an idea of time, it means that there must be a universe. There must be a world. Time is dependent on the celestial beings, on physical existence. And therefore, he's saying that if you take this statement literally, it soser itself mine ubei. How could you have 1,000 years of non-existence? Because if there's non-existence, then there can't be 1,000 years. And therefore, he's saying clearly, the notion of destruction of charev doesn't mean absolute charev, because then there wouldn't be time. Besides, the Rambam continues, it is the saying of an individual that corresponds to a certain manner of thinking. This is an idea that the Rambam frequently does in the Mor Nevuchim. When he sees something in Chazal that he doesn't like, he says it's a Das Yachid. So this is a Das Yachid. We don't accept it. And that's why in the Mishnah Torah he doesn't mention that the world will be destroyed either entirely or even partially. The Rashba addresses these issues. The Rashba is a long tshuva about this topic. As I mentioned earlier, it's fascinating the extent to which the Rishonim and the Achronim talked about these topics. For many of us, B'nai Yeshiva, these topics are a little weird, not so interesting. The Rambam says that as well. The Rambam says, what's the point of thinking too much about these topics? After all, we'll understand it when it happens. Yemos HaMashiach can come about in many ways. Olam Haba, we can't even begin to relate to. What's the point of discussing it? However, you see that many of the Rishonim discuss it. Many of the Achronim discuss it. Again, even the Rashba, we'll see later, has like a 5-page tshuva on this topic of the nature of the destruction of the world. We'll see it shortly. The truth of the matter is, many people nowadays are very interested in it. I once gave a series of shiurim in Edmonton, Alberta, and I put the topics that I thought were really interesting and exciting in the good slots, and then somebody asked to talk about Mashiach and Olam Haba, so I did a couple on that, and I put them in lousy slots. And of course, those were the ones that were the best attended. Everybody came. Everybody wanted to know all about Mashiach and Olam Haba and the like. So it's a topic that fascinates people, though, for many very different reasons. Be that as it may, that's the Rambam's response. Now, why does the Rambam find this so objectionable? What's wrong, after all, with saying that Chad Charev? So here the Rambam makes a very important philosophical point. And he makes this in the previous chapter, in 28, as well as in chapter 9. The Rambam understands that how does he know that the world will not be destroyed? Bimos HaMashiach. It's a mefurish pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk says that there's nothing new under the sun. Ein chadash tachas hashemesh. What does that mean? That means that things won't change. The world won't be destroyed. Of course, that pasuk is understood many different ways by different commentaries, but the Rambam understands that is the idea that the Torah believes that the world won't change. And that's fundamentally important from in a philosophical perspective. And that's because God is eternal, and his world therefore won't change. Change would imply deficiency. It would imply for the Rambam that God somehow or another made a mistake such that it needs to be improved or corrected upon. And therefore, it's inconceivable. And he offers a very logical argument. The works of God are most perfect. Our world is the work of God. Therefore, all our world is the most possible, perfect possible world. And because any change implies a lack of perfection, then therefore the natural order will never change, and there will never be another world. And therefore the notion of Olam Haba is impossible, according to the Rambam, as understood by the Rishonim. Therefore, the Rambam goes to such great lengths to deny that the natural order will change Bimos HaMashiach. When you read the Prakim in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, he goes on and on and on about how the natural order won't change. Why is it so important that we paskin like Shmuel, Ein Bein, Olam Hazel, Bimos HaMashiach, Elashibun Malchios Bilvad? It's so important because for the Rambam, that would imply a deficiency within God. In fact, this idea is so problematic that the Rambam really is troubled by the notion of Nisim. Don't Nisim, which are a change in the natural order, imply deficiency? And the Rambam has several theories to justify how Nisim are possible. One of them, which is not the major theory of the Rambam, though adapted by the Ralbag, who is so bothered by this question that he basically denies Nisim. How could you deny Nisim and believe in the Torah? So the Ralbag, as well as the Rambam, in one answer, latch on to the Maimer of Chazal that talk about how various supernatural things were created, during Bein HaShemashos. What does it mean that, let's say, the Chamor of Bilam was created, Sheshes Yimei Bereshis? Beinish Mashos? What need is there for the creation of that Chamor? So for the rationalist medieval thinkers, the answer is that the Chazal are telling us that built into the Bria was this Nes, which would happen later. It's not supernatural, it's natural. It's only supernatural in the sense that it goes against what we normally perceive. But it's built into the Bria. And the same thing for Kriyas Yamsuf and the like. And therefore, essentially, there are no miracles in the normal sense. So that is the approach of the Ralbag, for this very reason, because change implies deficiency. Now this notion is, as you might expect, rejected by most Rishonim, and the basic response that they'll have to this question is that a certain type of process is necessary, and therefore change does not imply deficiency. There are times when you can't create the ideal situation immediately, that there have to be initial stages and development. Nobody would say that God is imperfect because human beings are not born shleimim. They're born as infants, and they need to grow and develop and mature, and then they grow into healthy adults, both physically and intellectually and emotionally. So too, with respect to the universe. This is the idea, according to the Gra and others, of Ma'amari Chazal, which talk about Allah b'machshava X, Ra'a she'eno yachol iskayim, and therefore God changed it. What do Chazal mean? That God wanted to do it one way, he saw it wasn't going to work, and therefore he did it differently. Let's take the example of Allah b'machshava to create the world with din, Ra'a she'eno yachol iskayim, shitef imo midas harachamim. That means God wanted a world of din. He saw that creating that directly and initially would not work. It wouldn't succeed, it couldn't succeed, and therefore he saw that the better way to get to the world of din is to first have a world where there's shituf midas harachamim. Sometimes the best route to get between two points is not a straight line. If there's an obstacle in the way, you go around it. Likewise, the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to create man one, man and woman one, he saw that it wouldn't work. This could be understood on many levels according to this interpretation. One idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be unity with the genders, something which happens after marriage. He saw that the best way to create that system of unity is to have man and female, male and female first be separate and live separate and independent lives, only to join later, and that would create the ideal unity and union. And so on and so forth. So, expanding that to the universe in general, that the universe needs some type of process. And part of that process is Olam Hazeh, and subsequently the destruction of the world, and the rebuilding of the world for Olam Haba, both on an individual level, and that's why there has to be Misa and then Tchias HaMesim, and also on a more universal level, that the world itself has to be built and then destroyed and reconstituted. As the Derech Hashem says on page 33, that V'ulam milvad kol zeh gazra midas dino yisparach shelo yuchlu lo ha'adam v'lo ha'olam me'ata higia el hashlemos odam bitzura shenis kalkala da'ainu ha'tzura she'yesh lahem achshav sheba nisra behara ela yitztarich lahem behechreach avur ma'avar ha'hefsed da'ainu ha'misa la'adam v'hefsed l'chol sh'ar ha'ovim shenis kalkalu imo. In other words, when human beings sinned, the sin of Adam HaRishon as well as subsequent sins, that created some type of kilkel to the universe, to the world. You see this in the Psukim in Parshas Noach that talk about how the Aretz was nishchasa through the sins of the creations. It wasn't just the people that destroyed themselves, but they destroyed the world with it. The famous Medrash in Koheles that is quoted partially by the Mesilas Yesharim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu takes Adam HaRishon on a tour of Gan Eden, and he says, Re'e Ma'asai Kama Yafim Heim, look how beautiful the world that I created is. Look at all the beauty and the trees and so on and so forth. Tein da'atcha shelo tekalkel olami. Take heed not to destroy my world. This may be understood as a reference to environmentalism. But the Ramchal understands it's talking about the spiritual corruption that's a result of sin. And he writes that that type of corruption can't be fixed. And that's why the pasuk quoted by that medrash is Me'uvas lo yuchal liskon v'chisaron lo yuchal imanos. The pasuk in Koheles, which tells us that once something is made crooked, it can't be repaired, it can't be fixed. And therefore, there's a need of destruction before the tikkun can come about. So for the individual, that's Misa, followed by Tchias HaMesim, and for the world, that's this period of Kilkel, which will usher in Yimaos HaMashiach. Just parenthetically, so you should know, there's a whole genre of Mefarshim who try to explain the Rambam in accordance with the more mainstream Kabbalistic positions, and therefore, with respect to the Ravitz question, instead of turning to the Mor Nevuchim, where he addresses this question explicitly, they try to show how even within the Rambam, especially in the Yad, you could see this. We're not going to go into this now, but if you want an example, a fascinating example of this, you could look at the Sefer Ziv Mishnah, which is on the bottom of page 32, whose conclusion is, Amnam nira didas rabbeinu gamken hu kedas haravid, hu kedas haramban, hu kedas kol shlemei emunei Yisrael. And he goes ahead and he shows how the Rambam really agrees with the Ravid. The Ravid misunderstood the Rambam when accusing him of not believing in this thing.
There's also an entire genre of literature explaining how all these Mamre Chazal and other Rishonim are actually like the Rambam.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed. In fact, that's an interesting segue into the Tshuva Sarashba. I referred earlier to the Tshuva Sarashba, which is on page 33, about the nature of this destruction. And we're not going to read the Rashba or even most of it, but he makes a couple of interesting methodological points. Da nechbadnu kol elu advarim kulam ukiyotzi bahem ilu hayinu baim ladun aleyam mitzad hachakira ha'enoshis the lifsok osam min hasvara be'emes hachakira tenatzeach she'en ketzev la'olam. This question of whether there will be an end of the world, if we come about it from a philosophical, scientific perspective, of course our conclusion will be that there will be no end. It's actually not necessarily the case with respect to the current scientific understanding, but he was working within a more Aristotelian framework, which presumed the eternity of the universe, the eternity of matter, and therefore, of course, from a scientific perspective, we should not expect to find any evidence of the end of the world. That's because chakira, science, comes from that which we observe in the teva. When we examine the universe, we do not perceive any form of corruption, of ultimate entropy. He wasn't so into the law of thermodynamics, right? The world is perfect, it's going, the galgalim are being megalgal, and everything's going great. And that's from a physical scientific perspective. Aval be'emes, kol mi shetoin kein, eino el mitzad ha-kabala, ha-mesur bi'adan shel Yisrael mepicha chamem im hora'as ha-mekraos. So why would anyone claim then that the world will be destroyed? That's based on tradition. In other words, don't ask me a kasha from science on tradition. Of course, you're right. There's a stira. I'm not saying that there's no stira, except we accept the Kabbalah. We accept the tradition. V'chol sha Kabbalah o anevua hanachaso eino ela mitzara Kabbalah Hamisura biyadu shel Yisrael. I'm sorry, read that line again. Lo tenatzchenu hachakira, chia chakira limata min anevua. Meaning to say, when it comes to ways of ascertaining and gaining knowledge, there's a hierarchy. One is science. Science is indeed a way and a legitimate way of understanding. However, that's lower in the totem pole than nevuah and Kabbalah. And therefore, when you have a contradiction between Chakira and Kabbalah, you follow Kabbalah. Ze davar barur, lo yistapek bo echad mi ba'alei hadatot, kol shekein ba'alei hadas hamitis ke'amenu. Not only will non-Jewish religions accept this notion that prophecy trumps science, but even, certainly the Jews. Kemo shelo yistapek echad mimenu b'kiyum hanisim shenasu la'avos kenegad ha'teva kekriyas yamsuf v'yardein v'amidas ha'shemesh li'yoshua v'shar nisim kenegad ha'teva. Just like nobody, no religious person, would deny miracles, even though miracles contradict science, so too, no one should doubt the Kabbalah when it discusses the notion of the destruction of the world, even if it contradicts science. V'afalpi shamitfalsafim, the philosophers, toanim b'vitul kol zeh b'kfira mehem b'divrei Moshe Rabbeinu v'shar nevi'im, v'anu ein dvarim im hakofrim b'chol umatilin hashibush gam b'divrei nevi'im. So then he tells you a very interesting and even ironic point. If you turn to page 34, the paragraph beginning Vida. Vida ki kol chacham mechachmei torasenu hachasidim kshiyira divrei hafilosofim v'yashar be'enav darkam kshu magia etzel haksuvim hamorim kehafcham pirei shosam be'inyan sheyia na'us l'chakira hafilosofit u'meisim inyan hamikraos mashal. What happens if you're a philosopher, or you're philosophically inclined, and you see psukim which seem to contradict philosophy? So you have a simple recourse. You assume that the pasuk is a mashal. And there are many places, certainly, where the rationalist Rishonim do this. Everybody's going to do it to some extent. Everybody's going to agree that the Yad HaChazaka that's referred to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Egypt is meant metaphorically. But let's say the Rambam goes much further. The Rambam will say that the meeting that Yaakov had with the angel was a dream, and so too the three angels that visited Avram was a dream, because it's inconceivable from a philosophical perspective that angels would take on human forms. And therefore, they take the psukim as a mashal. L'fish ein dochako so inya nevui o mitzvah. Avakshu magia etzel chachme Yisrael yifarish hamikraos kitzurasan. V'afal pisha chachma philosophit so seres osam. K'inyan t'chias ha-meisim, she'en ha-ksuvim muchrachim, bo, hechreach, nechtach, v'yesh lefarish kol ha-mikros b'derach mashal. K'inyan ha-mikros she'ba'u yoser mivu'arim b'inyan meisei yechezgal. V'eile she'echricham hechreach ha-kabbala ha-mefursemes b'uma. U'v'makom hazeh yoda she'akabbala tibatel ha-chakira ha-philosophit, v'az tiyeh lanu hora'a mimenu she'en mashgichin b'chakira k'neged ha-kabbala.
Fascinating and ironic point. When a religious, philosophically inclined Torah scholar encounters psukim, which seem to contradict philosophy, they have the option of understanding the psukim metaphorically. But when it comes to contradictions with the Kabbalah, with the tradition, then they have no choice but to acknowledge that the Kabbalah trumps the philosophical and scientific understanding. For example, with respect to Tchias HaMeisim. So, the psukim themselves do not clearly delineate the notion of Tchias HaMeisim. Even he alludes to the psukim in Yechezkel that talk about the Meisei Yechezkel. You could understand those psukim, as in fact many thinkers do, even the Gra, as not referring to literal Tchias HaMeisim, but a personification of the revival of the Jewish spirit in the end of days, how the Jewish people, who are all dried out and desiccated and lacking spirituality, like the Kuzari explains, will rise and be invigorated. So, how do we know Tchias HaMeisim? And even the Rambam certainly accepts Tchias HaMeisim, and even he will have to acknowledge that that contradicts basic philosophical notions. That's based on Kabbalah. When it comes to Kabbalah, not mysticism, but tradition, so then we have no choice but to accept. We don't have the option of just dismissing it as something that's metaphorical.
it's like the Rambam says with respect to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai in his Hakdama to Parsha Mishnayos. You could ask a kasha on a svara, but you can't ask a kasha on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Im Kabbalah hi tekablanu. If it's a svara, then I'm going to argue. Likewise, with respect to traditions of this sort. And therefore, he says, when it comes to matters of Tchias HaMeisim and the destruction of the world, we have to accept it. And he alludes to the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim in several places in this chapter without identifying it clearly. He says, you can't tell me that this is a Das Yachid in Chazal because we don't find anybody who argues with it. And he says, you can't say that... He does acknowledge, though perhaps it doesn't mean absolute destruction, he's bothered by the question that the Rambam alludes to of how could you have time if the world is destroyed? And he writes that, first of all, kilo yichanu achorban el ledavar mitpased v'nigra lo ledavar shitit ale madregaso v'einanu roen b'talmud cholik alav el shediber akasav derech amira. What about the issue of time? Chazal shirabuseinu karm lezeh shivros ha'ozen. Even this is not perhaps so literal. Interesting in light of what he said before. Then at the end of the tshuva, it's a very beautiful tshuva, he gets into some of the symbolism of this period of time. The notion of seven. Hine betchilas b'riyas ha'olam mana shisha v'kodem v'kidei shvi. From the beginning of time, we always find that there's six chol and one kodesh. Sheshes yimei bereshis, followed by Shabbos. Likewise, sheshes alafim, 6,000 years of existence, followed by Shabbos. And then he talks about how, why it is that sometimes the kedusha comes after the seven is finished, like in the seven cycles of Shemitah. It's not the seventh cycle that's kadosh, but Yovel, which comes after the seven, is over, or Shavuos, and the like. And he talks about, very beautifully and not for now, why sometimes it's the seventh that's kadosh, and sometimes it's the post-seventh kadosh. Teva, l'mal mina teva. If you didn't know you were reading the Rashba, you would think you were reading the Maral. Now, continuing... We're not going to read through the Makoros on pages 37 and 38, who discuss the notion of Chad Charav, again, more on very mystical terms. Again, from the Tshuva of the Torah Lishma, the Ben Ish Chai, looking at the very last line of his Tshuva on this topic, he writes on page 38, etc. Like we said before, this is a restoration of the initial state. And this idea is expressed very beautifully, and I think in a way we could even somewhat relate to by the Ramchal and Sefer Das Tfunos. Just a basic note before we read it. Today we have been talking a lot about Kabbalah, and certainly I'm not one to understand this or be able to explain it. Some of the things we could read and translate, but certainly we don't understand. But I'd like to just take one moment to discuss how important Chachmas HaSod is to most Jewish thinkers throughout the ages. Professor Rabbi Tursky, Isidore Tursky, Rabbi Meir Tursky's father, writes in his introduction to the Mishneh Torah that throughout our history, or certainly the last 1,000 years or so, there has always been a trend among almost all, though not all, but almost all Gedolei Yisrael to value something which he called meta halacha. There's halacha, which is shas and poskim, and then there's meta halacha. Meta halacha meant different things for different people. For some, it was rationalism and philosophy. For others, it was Kabbalah. But almost all Gedolei Yisrael valued it and spent significant time and resources in its study. They didn't just stick with Shas and Poskim. The Gemara, of course, says that Dvarim Gedolim are Masa Bereshis and Maisim Merkava, and Dvarim Ketanim are Havayos Dabai Virava. And though there are different understandings of what Masa Bereshis and Maisim Merkava are, for the Rambam it might be physics and metaphysics, for the Chachmei Hasod it's referring to Kabbalah and mysticism, but the notion that those are Dvarim Gedolim is something which is almost universal. Why was this so important to study? First and foremost, it's emes. Yediyas Hashem is a mitzvah. And whether you try to know God through philosophy or through mysticism, you're trying the same pursuit, which is to understand the nature of the truth in God. And perhaps at the end of the year, we'll talk a little bit, we'll sum up what Machshava is and what its purpose is. But for now, suffice it to say that they felt that this was a very, very important and worthwhile pursuit. And even when it comes to the more Litvisha tradition, this is something that's very common. You look at the Gra and the Nefesh HaChaim. So Nefesh HaChaim is a sefer which is almost entirely mystical. The Nefesh HaChaim writes, by the way, that why is it so important to study this work? Because it's a sefer Musar. Not even for the Kabbalah per se, but that if you understand these things, then it's incredibly inspirational to know that there's all these olamos ha'alyonim that are affected by our mitzvahs and the like. And while many, many of the gedolim kept this knowledge very hidden, it's well known that Rav Elyashiv and the Chazon Ish and others were great mikubalim, even though it's something that they don't publicize. You don't hear the Rav Elyashiv giving Shiurim in Kabbalah, though he's quoted as a teenager in the Leshem. So we know of his greatness, even though we don't see it. And while this is an area of Torah which, for the most part, is something that a person develops later in life after they've studied Lechem Mubasar, it is important to know, even without actually studying it, how important it is for most of the Gedolim. So turning now to, I guess, our final point for today, and that is trying to understand the nature of the Guf in Olam Haba, and what is its purpose. As we saw before, the Rambam rejects this idea, though it's the Pashtus in Chazal, because, as he says, what is the need for a Guf in a world where there's lo achila v'lo shtiya and the like? And we could see this in many sources, but I think a very nice presentation is in the Sefer Das Tfunos written by Ramchal. The Das Tfunos is a wonderful Sefer to learn. It's really very exciting and a very interesting and excellent introduction to the thought of Ramchal. And it's a conversation between the Seichel and the Neshama. You'll study the book and understand what the nature of this conversation is and why the Seichel says what it says and the Neshama says what it says. But it says here as follows. Amar HaSeichel, on page 38. And I'm going to skip to the bold. V'adavar mivur me'atzmo, shemadrega ha-tachlitis, asher tiya sof kol iloi ha-adam, hi hanik ba'as rishona. The ultimate goal is what is set at first. Ki me'az hisatzel ha-neshama mimakora, tzarich shiyeh b'chuka ha-shlemus ha-yoser gadol, Shetuchal agiyei lav b'sof hakol. Ella, shiomru la milamala, l'chi umaati etz asmech. Just like Chazal, we now talk about the moon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the moon, l'chi umaati etz asmech, and hence we pray for the restoration of the moon. So too with respect to the neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the neshama incredibly, as an incredibly powerful spiritual force, and its ultimate goal was its was reflected in its initial creation, but then it was told, L'chi u'me'aties atzmeich. Ad asher tashuv el mekoma rishon behis alosa al pi ma'aseh. Until it could be restored to its original form through its ma'asim. Ach lo shebriyasa mimu'etes betchilasa v'yia iluya miruba achareha. Here he alludes to the Rambam's critique in the Mar Nevuchim. You'll see many times that the Ramchal alludes to the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim. He says, I know the Rambam will ask me, this is against Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. No, this is not a problem, because its initial creation was such, and then it was changed. This is very reminiscent of the famous Gemara in Nida and Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which talks about how the nature of the fetus when it's in the womb is very much like the nature of the Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. All the imagery used to describe Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet is used to describe the fetus in the womb, and that same imagery is used to describe the nature of existence in Olam Haba. Thus the Gemara says, Ner dalok lo al rosho v'tsofa umabit misofa olam ad sofa olam, etc., etc. Ve'en lecha yamim sha'adam sharui betova yosem me'osen hayamin melamdin oso kol atar kula, and the like. In other words, the initial state of human being is that ultimate level of existence. And then it's diminished so that it could work its way back on its own through Bechira. Aval ha-seder hu hapach mizeh, ki bekocha ha-gadol me'az tis'atzel acher, yimatula, ad asher tashuv le'etana, ve'al kopanim sof ha-maseh tchilas ha-machshava. That's what we say, sof ha-maseh b'machshava tchila. The initial machshava was what's going to be at the end. It just takes a while to get there. Just like, l'mashal, when a architect builds a building, so you start off with a model of what it's going to look like. You use that to put in all the real estate brochures so everybody sees how beautiful this building is going to be. But then it takes many, many years to get there when it's incomplete. And eventually, you get back to that image, that sketch, the initial architect's drawing and rendition. V'nimtza shebematzav ha-shleima sasher la'adam hu shenivchan rishona v'hu derech uzman shetia neshama hi levada sholetes u'moshelis lagami. So what is that stage? That stage that's going to exist in Olam Haba? That is a stage where the neshama is sholetes lagami, meaning to say that the neshama is sholet al haguf. Nowadays we live in an existence where the neshama competes with the guf. It's not sholeit al haguf. Like we saw, the ratzon is to do davar v'hipucho. But la'asid lavo, the neshama will be sholetes. Belo shiyesh shum shlita l'guf klal, uki'ilu eino. Why? Because the idea of gufanios nowadays, ki harei ein inyan hagufanios, ela hester ha'ara, umashu mimenu me'akev, ki efshar l'shlita afilu k'tana l'guf. Shelo yachzar kenegda eze or v'koach min haneshama. Al kain hazman shetia haneshmas b'chol gvurasa shelo techzar ba mima sheraui la l'shleimusa, etc. So then he says this is going to take place over several stages. So one stage, this is the ultimate goal, that the neshama will be sholetes lagamri, over the guf. There will no longer be any helem, any hiddenness that results of the guf. However, this takes place in several stages. Matzav pachos mizeh, hu behayos haguf nivchan b'shlita saktsas. There will be a stage before this when the guf will have a little bit of shlita. This will not be like nowadays where there's this gabras hataivos vatshukos, but rather, like we saw in the Ben Ishchai, there'll be a weakened form of the guf. And here he describes, and we're out of time, so we're not going to read it together,
the various stages. So the ultimate stage is what he calls the Aleph Asiri, and before that is the Aleph Hatshi'i and the Aleph Hashmini, going all the way back to Yemos HaMashiach, where, like we said before, Yemos HaMashiach is to prepare that state. And therefore, Yemos HaMashiach, like the Ramban, is a stage of a Nasati Lachem Lev Basar, where the Neshama will begin to be sholeit over the Guf, because the Guf will go and do that which is natural, and this brings us back to where we started from. Okay, as you could see, we're not quite finished. I think it's worthwhile to do one more shiur on this topic, but we'll do that after break. The reason why I'm spending so much time on it is A, it's something that people don't know about, but as we see is discussed a lot, but also Derech Agav, a lot of important fundamental ideas seen in Rishonim come through. So next time we're going to discuss the topic of A, why is Olam Haba not mentioned in the Torah? A question that all the Rishonim deal with. We're going to see 8 answers in the Rishonim, Ezras Hashem, to this question. If Olam Haba is such a fundamental point, Kol Omer Ein Tchias HaMesim Olam Min HaTorah, Olam Haba Min HaTorah Ein L'Chelek Olam Haba, though, we would expect it to be discussed. We're going to talk about the idea of false messianism. We're going to talk about the idea of what role Umos HaOlam and Gayim play B'Umos HaMashiach and in Olam Haba, which relates also to their role generally. We're going to talk about, Bezras Hashem, the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef, the death of Mashiach. Is it possible? What's Mashiach ben Yosef versus Mashiach ben David? What is the war of Gog u'Magog and the like? All that, Bezras Hashem, will do in just one more shiur after break. Next week, Bezras Hashem, at this time,